We're doing in Yaakov. We're up to Tesvava Med Aleph in Tractate Shabbos, which is in the standard editions of Ein Yaakov, Tafvava Med Beis. Amar Rav Kahana. When you encounter Rav Kahana in the Talmud, there were at least two, probably three Rav Kahanas. One was very early, the beginning of the period of the Amoraim. The other one was late, and there was probably one in between as well. Tosfos points this out. Kshechalal b'Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, became ill, and this means he became seriously ill, shalchu lo Rebbe, emor lanu shnayim o shlosha dvarim, shamarta lanu mishum avicha. They sent him, they said, Rebbe, tell us two or three things you told us in the name of your father, the great Rabbi Yossi. Shalach lehem kach amar Abba. He sent them the following. Guys, you can remember this. This is a line in Talmud that is very important historically, and then it also has halachic relevance. He said like this, this is what my father told me, Rabbi Yossi. 180 years, Kuf Pei Shanat Shelocha Rav HaBayit, 180 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, Pashta Malchut Al Yisrael, the Roman Empire spread and took actual control over Israel. Pei Shanat Shelocha Rav HaBayit Gazru Tumah Le'Otzamim Al Klei Zechuchit, 80 years before the destruction, the rabbis decreed that Chutz La'aretz is defiled. We know that Chutz La'aretz has a Tumah D'Rabbanan. The Talmud explains that it was fairly common that women miscarried. Today the statistic is 1 in 4 pregnancies end in a miscarriage. That's the scientific statistic I heard about a decade ago. I don't think it changed. So they would bury them in their yards. So it was very common that you had all kinds of fetuses buried all over.
A decade ago,
the statistic I heard was that 1 in 4 pregnancies ended in a miscarriage. In the Roman times, it was much more. I mean, if you go back to the Roman times, people, the average person 2 or 3 centuries ago would lose most of their kids. Kids kept dying of all kinds of diseases. Women died at childbirth. Kids died at childbirth. If you go back only a century ago, the average person buried close to half their kids, and sometimes more than that. So, 80 years before the temple was destroyed, the rabbis made a decree that Chutz La'aretz is defiled, because people would bury indiscriminately. So they said, a kohen can't go out to Chutz La'aretz. Anyone that goes out to Chutz La'aretz is tamei. Val klei zechuchit, the rabbis also made a rabbinic decree that glass vessels can become tamei, because technically, halachically, glass doesn't become tamei. It's not metal. It's not wood. It's not earthenware. It can't become tamei, technically. It's rabbinic that glass can become tamei. 40 years before the destruction, the high court imposed a self-imposed exile, and they sat in a place called Chanuyot. The Gemara says, what halachos do we learn from this quote? Now the first thing, okay, so we said, 180, 80, 40. Okay? The next line here is also critical. The idea that the rabbis took a personal exile was that they said, we will no longer administer the death penalty. The people are not on a level. The death penalty in the Torah is assuming a certain moral level. If the people are not on that level, so then we have to apply the halachos differently. And so the rabbis found the halachic loophole to be able to tie their hands so they wouldn't be able to administer the death penalty. Now, we have to understand what's going on here, just so we get perspective. You guys heard of Shimon ben Shatach? He was one of the leaders of the Jewish people a century and a half before this. So if we look at the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, so Shimon ben Shatach was one of the Zugot, one of the partners. He was related to Heleni, the queen, and Yanai, the king, was his brother-in-law. Sounds right, yeah. So Shimon ben Shatach had 80 women executed for being witches. So they, no, this was, it's a biblical prohibition. Their relatives decided, in Ashkelon, yes. Their relatives decided that they're taking revenge from Shimon ben Shattach. They brought false witnesses implicating his son. And they went to court demanding that his son get the death penalty. Shimon ben Shattach knew that these were false witnesses. But they had done their job well, and they couldn't disprove them. And so even though the courts had a picture that this was a lie, and they tried, but they didn't have a good alibi, they couldn't contradict it, they executed his son. So the courts did not easily say, we're picking up our hands, we're not giving the death penalty. If they had no choice, if they were cornered, they administered the death penalty. When the courts over here imposed the self-inflicted exile, what they said is, we recognize this is not the way to go. The Torah gives us a mitzvah with certain understandings. When the leadership is so sinful, when you have the Sadducees that are confusing everyone, when you have the Romans prohibiting teaching Torah publicly, when things are the way they are, you have the kings, the Herodic dynasty that is murdering cities at a time. If you think what's going on in Syria is gruesome, so our history is also filled with blood. It's true they weren't really Jewish kings, the Herodic dynasty, but at any rate, they were the kings of the Jewish people. So the rabbis here said, no more death penalty. And finally, and this is the line which you guys have to remember, Hillel v'Shimon, Gamliel v'Shimon, na'agu nesiutan 100 shana b'fnei abayit. 100 years before the temple was destroyed, we had the following dynasty. Hillel became Nasi 100 years before the temple was destroyed. And then his son Shimon, and then his son Rabban Gamliel, that's the elder Rabban Gamliel, and then his son, Rabbi Shimon, which is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, they were the four Nesiim that led us in the final 100 years, in the final century before the destruction. Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. Those four rabbis. And their father, son, father, son. Yeah? Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. And then it goes on to Rabban Gamliel, then to Rabbi Shimon, etc. So this is Rabban Gamliel, the elder. And Rabbi Shimon was, the final Rabbi Shimon was one of the 10 martyrs. The final Rabbi Shimon. He was the one of those killed. And then his son Rabban Gamliel is going to be the youngster. He's going to be the Nasi after the destruction of the temple. And he's going to be the young Nasi who has the whole argument with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Some of you might know the story. He made him come to him with his staff on Yom Kippur. Right. He ultimately got him removed from the post. So that's already post-destruction. So the final four leaders before the destruction of the temple, the final century is Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. So that's an important tool, this Gemara. Okay, what did we learn today? We learned that Rav Kahana quoted that when Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi became ill, they asked him, tell us two or three things your father taught. And he said, 180 years before the destruction, the Roman Empire started conquering the land of Israel. 80 years before the destruction, they decreed that chutzlaritz is defiled, and they decreed that glass vessels can become defiled. 40 years before the destruction, the high court imposed the self-imposed exile, and they stopped ruling the death penalty. And then we learned that the final century before the destruction, the leaders were Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon.